What a great day that it's been. What a great Lord's Day. What a blessing God has given us to come together to sing praises to Him, to teach and admonish one another. So glad that I was here. And thank you for being here. Anytime I stand before you, I come to preach the word, as Paul charged Timothy. And if there's any question you have about anything I say or anything you may disagree with or you want more clarification on, you don't understand, please come to me. Feel free to talk with me, ask me. I'll make myself available to you to study further if that be your desire. As I preach the word, open the word and study along with me. This afternoon, I want to talk to us about love manifestations. The Bible talks a lot about love. The word love occurs 310 times in the King James Version. No doubt we're commanded to love. God commands us to love the Lord, Matthew 22:37. To love our neighbor, Matthew 22:39. Love our enemies, Matthew 5:44. To love one another, John 13:34. Husbands, love your wives, Ephesians 5:25. Wives, love your husbands, Titus 2:4. To love our children, Titus 2:4. We are commanded to love. And many are confused about love, the love of the Bible. We'll begin by defining these terms. When we're talking about love this afternoon, and love often occurring throughout the Bible, we're talking about the word love that comes from the word agape. We're not talking about some feeling or emotion that we feel in our stomach. That's not what is meant when you come across the word love in the Bible. Vines says, love can be known only by the actions it prompts. For example, God's love is seen in the gift of His Son. Christian love, whether exercised toward the brethren or toward men generally, is not an impulse of the feelings. It does not always run with natural inclinations, nor does it spend itself only upon those for whom some affinity is discovered. We understand that well when it comes to the command to love our enemies. That may not feel natural to us. That's not what love is. It's not an impulse of the feelings. Here's what it is. Love seeks the welfare of all. According to Strong's, love is to regard the welfare of. That's what we're commanded to do. Seek the welfare of. Regard the welfare of. We notice that love can be known only by the actions that it prompts. That brings us to the word manifestations. Certainly a Bible word, the word manifest occurs 39 times in the King James Version. It means to make known, to make visible, to reveal or expose what has been hidden or unknown, to make actual, to show forth, to make appear, to render apparent. And here is a scripture for that, 1 John 3 and in verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Love not manifested without actions, deeds, without being made actual, is really no love at all. That's what we're talking about this afternoon. Love manifestations. And we're going to focus on God. First of all, ways God manifests His love for us. And then we're going to look at ways we manifest our love for God. First of all, God's love manifested. God's love is made actual, is manifested in giving His Son. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. Can't be more clear than that. How is God's love manifested toward us? Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You don't have to question if God loves you or not. You know that. There's no denying it. Why? Because it's manifested. he gave his son. 1 John 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. God's love is manifested in the sacrifice that he made. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3, verse 16. What sacrifice? You don't have to question if God's love is actual or real. You know it because of the sacrifice that he made, what he gave. Not only is his love manifested, but the degree of it, the amount of love. You know it's great because of how great the sacrifice was. He gave his only begotten Son. Same when it comes to his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself. Ephesians 5:25. What sacrifice? It's through that sacrifice that God's love is manifested for us. God's love is manifested towards us. It's revealed, made actual, made visible through his desire for our life. We've learned that love means to seek the welfare of. And no doubt, God does that for us and loves us and the fact that he desires our life. Like in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 9, remember, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why? That we might live through him. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's longsuffering is a manifestation of his love, because he is not willing that any should perish. He seeks our welfare. He loves us. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 4, Paul writes Timothy concerning God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. In Ezekiel 33, verse 11, the Lord says, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. His desire is for the wicked to turn from his way and live. He desires our life, showing, revealing his love for us. Deuteronomy 30 and in verse 19, that's why the Lord gave his people a choice. A choice between life and death, blessing and cursing. And he said, therefore, choose life. Choose life. Love of God for us is seen, made manifest in his appeal to life. One who desires or expresses pleasure in one's death is not love. God manifested his love for us by giving us his commandments. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, in verses 12 and 13, remember what the Lord requires of us, of his people. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day, notice, for thy good. Love seeks the welfare of all. God loves us. How do I know? He gave his commandments. Why? For my good, for my welfare. God giving us his commandments was a manifestation of his love for us. You don't have to deny God's love or have any question about that. He loves us. How do I know? Because he gave us his commandments for our own good, for our welfare. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 24. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. That's love. For our good always. The best thing we can do for ourselves is keep the commandments of God. The worst thing we can do for ourselves is forsake them and not keep the commandments of God. They're for our good, showing God's love for us. Another way God's love is manifested is in His correction. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, the wisest man to have ever lived tells us these words, Proverbs 3, 11 and 12, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." Yes, correction is a manifestation of the Lord's love. I know the Lord loves me because He corrects me. That's why it's written in Proverbs 13, verse 24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Emphasized once more in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 5, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. I know chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." No doubt God loves us. He manifests that love for us through His correction, His chastening. And why does He do that here in Hebrews 12? He does that to produce reverence, verse 9, that we may be in subjection, verse 9, and live for our profit, verse 10, that we might be partakers of His holiness, verse 10, to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, verse 11, to make straight paths for your feet, to heal the lame. That's love. Where there's no correction, there is no love. This takes place through the Word, as all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. How sad when people refuse the correction of the Lord. They're signing their own death warrant, if you will. One more when it comes to God's love being manifested. God's love for us is manifested, made actual, when messengers of God are sent to turn the wicked from their evil way. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. We studied this recently. In verse 14, we learn that the people of Israel transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen, polluted the house of the Lord, which He had hallowed in Jerusalem. They were in sin, transgression, abominations. And verse 15, "The Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes and sending." Why? Because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. God sending messengers to His people who were in sin to turn them from their sin was a manifestation of His love, of His compassion. From Jeremiah chapter 25, notice the message of these messengers. Jeremiah 25. This is what the messengers God sent to them were speaking. In verse 4, "The Lord hath sent unto you all His servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear." Verse 5, "They said," here's what they said, "Turn ye again now, every one, from his evil way, and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you, unto your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them, and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Yet you have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. Yes, God's people were in sin, and his love is manifested in his sending prophets to those people and telling them to turn from their evil way, from the evil of your doings. Go not after other gods to serve them and worship them. Don't do that. Don't sin more. Don't provoke God to anger with the works of your hands. He even says, and I will do you no hurt, telling them that if you do these things, he will do you hurt. This was the message. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, to their own hurt, he says. Destruction was the message. Verse 9, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, will bring them against this land and against the inhabitants thereof and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them. That was the message of these prophets that God sent to these his people in sin. And did you know that that was love? You better believe it. That was a manifestation of God's love, of his compassion. God's love is seen in sending messengers to tell them to turn from their sin and warning them of the destruction that is coming. You know, that's why God sent his son, Jesus. In the book of Acts, chapter 3, remember these words in verse 26. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son, Jesus, sent him, why? To bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That's why the Lord said the things that he did. Like, I tell you, Naaman, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Turn from your sin or perish. That's what the Lord's message was, Luke 13, 3 and 5. No doubt the Lord was a Lord of love and compassion. And that was his message, a manifestation of his love. That's what the Lord commissioned his apostles to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. That's why in Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the first recorded gospel sermon and speaks to the Jews on Pentecost concerning Christ. Ye have taken, by wicked hands have crucified and slain. They were pricked in their heart, said, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. They that gladly received his word were baptized. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And this is what God commands today. This is love for God being manifested. When one goes to another, tries to turn him from a sin by speaking the word, they warn them. Another will say, that's not very loving. You need to be more loving. They're wrong. They're wrong. That is love. That's God's love being manifested. When messengers of God are sent to turn a person from evil. Now let's talk about ways we manifest our love for God. We're commanded to love the Lord. How do we do that? How do we do that? What are some ways we show that? We make it actual. No doubt many would claim to love the Lord, but they do not. Why? Because they don't manifest it. There aren't any actions being prompted by it. First of all, our love for God is manifested in keeping his commandments. Christian love, according to Vines, has God for its primary object and expresses itself, first of all, in implicit obedience to his commandments. That's what the Bible teaches. Like in John chapter 14 and in verse 15, familiar passages to us. If you love me, the Lord said, keep my commandments. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Those who do not keep the commandments of God do not love God, though they may say they do or think they do. We manifest our love for God by keeping his commandments. Another way we manifest our love for God is by denying self, denying myself. Self-will, that is self-pleasing, is the negation of love to God. It's contrary to it. A person who loves God denies himself, does not seek to please himself, but God, puts away and subdues self, my pleasures, my desires, develops and performs God's, allows self to suffer in order to do God's will and pleasure. Notice these passages, Matthew 16, verse 24. When the Lord said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Deny himself. Paul is a good example of that. Remember in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verses 22 to 24, how he kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, showed you and taught publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews, also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. Verse 24, here's the good attitude. None of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. There's a man who has denied himself. Again in chapter 21, in verse 13, then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. There's a person who has denied himself. Again in the book of Galatians, chapter 2, and in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then the Lord is an excellent example, the best example of one who denied himself. No doubt, it would have taken denying himself to come and die for sinners like us, the world. But notice with me Matthew 26, before he was crucified, knowing what's about to come, his crucifixion, which he's about to undergo, he began to be sorrowful and very heavy, verse 37. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, he says. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Can you imagine? Knowing what he's about to go through. But notice his attitude. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. That is self-denial. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. Go and do likewise. We manifest our love for God and our sacrifice and our giving. We learn that from what God gave and sacrificed for us. His love is manifested. No doubt it's the same for us. I think of those who manifested their love for God, like in the book of Mark 12, verse 41, Jesus sat over against the treasury, beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow. She threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. What a great statement. Sacrifice manifests love. Mark 14, verse 8. Remember, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, spikenard, very precious. She brake the box, poured it on the Lord's head, and they murmured against her in verse 5. The Lord said, let her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me. And verse 8, she hath done what she could. According to her ability, she did. She hath done what she could. She's come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. That was a manifestation of her love for the Lord. Because of what she gave, the sacrifice she made. Many good examples, like those in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, who, verse 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Verse 5, they first gave their own selves to the Lord. manifestation of their love, the amount that they gave and sacrificed. How much are we giving? How much are we sacrificing? That's how much we love. Another way our love for God is manifested is by loving our brother. Loving our brother. 1 John 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Chapter 4, verse 12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Then in verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. By loving our brother, we manifest our love for God. If we don't love our brother, we do not love God. Do you love your brother? That brings the question, how do we manifest our love for our brother? 1 John 5 and verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. That's one way, by keeping God's commandments. By seeing, having compassion, and providing for his needs. 1 John 3:17, whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? We manifest our love for a brother when we see his need, have compassion, provide for his need, ministering to their needs. We'll differentiate between the wicked and the righteous, those who go to heaven, those who go to hell. Matthew 25, 32 to 46. Think of the compassionate Samaritan in Luke 10, who was just that. He had compassion. He began by seeing the need of another. A certain man fell among thieves, was wounded, stripped, left for half dead. He saw him. He had compassion on him. He took care of him. Provided for whatsoever he needed. That is a way we manifest love for our brother. By doing good, Galatians 6, verse 10, by working no ill, Romans 13, 9 through 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Seeking the welfare of another. That's love. Not working ill. When we love, we seek the welfare of another. We're not going to do anything that's harmful to them, that is ill to them, that hurts them in any way. We speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4, verse 15. That's the way we manifest our love for our brother. Correction and discipline, we've looked at that. Visiting and hospitality, James 1, 27, 1 Peter 4, 9. By visiting and practicing hospitality, we manifest our love. By praying for them, James 5, 16. And especially this one, 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This comes back to self-denial, sacrifice for others. This is the way we manifest our love for our brother. Laying down our life. That's truly putting self last. Putting others first. Allowing yourself to take wrong or be defrauded at the benefit of another. When it becomes your choice or his, he gets the choice. The other comes first. You lay down your life. You lay down your wishes and desires for the other person. A good example is Abraham and Lot, Genesis 12, 7 through 11, and how Abraham gave Lot the choice. Lay down your life for them. We manifest our love for God by loving our brother how we ought to. We learn more about how we manifest our love for God from Deuteronomy chapter 13. Talking about prophet or a dreamer of dreams who comes to you and says, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known. And they speak to turn you away from the Lord your God and try to thrust you out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. And when that happens, it says, the Lord your God proveth you, tests you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, Deuteronomy 13:4, and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord. Put the evil away from the midst of thee because he sought to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. Not only the prophet or the dreamer of dreams, but also family. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, thy son, thy daughter, thy wife, thy friend, which is as thine own soul, verse 6, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. Thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken, nor pity him. Don't spare him. Thou shalt not conceal him. But thou shalt surely kill him. Shows God's attitude towards such. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. Thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he has sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God. We learn from these verses that our love for God is manifested by not hearkening, not listening to those who seek to turn us away from the Lord. If we listen to them and we're turned out of the way, thrust out of the way of his commandments, we do not love God as we ought to. It's manifested in our refusing error. It's manifested in walking in the way which God commanded us to walk in and not being thrust out. It's manifested in our putting the evil away. Under the old law, evil was put away through stoning them, putting them to death. And today we put the evil away according to the New Testament pattern. If the New Testament said, put them to death through stoning, that's what we must do. But it says, put away from among yourselves. Have no company. Withdraw yourselves. Mark and avoid. 1 Corinthians 5, 2 Thessalonians 3, and others. When we fail to do this, we do not love God. And we manifest our love for God by loving family less. Matthew 10, 37. If we love family more, we pity them, we spare them, we listen to them. When they seek to turn us away, we do not love God. Our love for God is manifested by hating evil. This comes from the book of Psalms, or Psalm 97, and in verse 10, ye that love the Lord, do what? Hate evil. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Our love for God is manifested in not loving the world. Not loving the world. This comes from 1 John 2 and in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. James chapter 4. Verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. By not loving the world, we manifest our love for God. If we love the world, we don't love God as we ought to. Becomes the enemy. We manifest our love for God by enduring temptation. James chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them, to who? Them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Those that love the Lord are the ones who will receive the crown of life. And among those that love the Lord and will receive the crown of life are those that endure temptation. Thus, enduring temptation is a way we manifest our love for God. We do that by having the Word of God hid in our heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119:11. And by doing the will of God. 1 John 2:17. And then finally, one more. We manifest our love for God by believing and rejoicing. 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 8. Talking about Jesus Christ, verse 7. Whom, having not seen, ye love. How do you know? How do you know you love? And whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We manifest our love for God by believing and rejoicing. Those who do not believe, don't believe in the Lord and his word, certainly have no reason to rejoice. They do not rejoice in him. They do not love God. Such will die in their sins. They will not go to heaven. They will be damned. Mark 16:16, John 8:21 and 24. Do you love God? Do you? You can answer that by answering these questions. Do you keep His commandments? Have you denied yourself? How much are you giving, sacrificing? Do you love your brother? Do you refuse error? Walk in the way God has commanded, not allow yourself to be thrust out. Put away the evil. Do you love family less? Do you hate evil? Do you not love the world? Do you endure temptation? And do you believe? And do you rejoice? Do you love God? You can make that manifest, make that actual now by obeying the gospel. Having heard it, do you believe it? And will you obey it? A repenting of your sins. Confessing, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And be faithful to the Lord. Have you done that, but there's sin in your life? Repent of it, pray to God for forgiveness, and confess your sin, lest you perish. And do so now, as together we stand and sing. Won't you come?